Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, would you read it with me? Dear God, I'm afraid. Based on Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7, listen to these verses. St. Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I invite you to turn to the back of your worship folder and find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Dear God, I'm Afraid. Someone has said that today a person either has to be a little afraid or a little stupid. There are the nagging little fears. The kids are out too late and haven't phoned. Mom and dad aren't getting along like they should. The bank account is a little bit overdrawn. That important letter you've been waiting for hasn't arrived. The school grades aren't what you'd hoped they'd be. And then there are the bigger fears. What am I going to do with my life? I'm concerned about the terrorism and unrest among the nations. The hospital lab report didn't bring the good news I was hoping for. Am I ready for retirement? Am I ready for my own aging and my own death? There may be much to be afraid of today. But the question is there much fear of the Lord? Or has our society, as our church, have we ourselves made God so tame, so boring, so irrelevant that there's nothing left in Him to fear? The key question of today's sermon is this. What is going to define your life? The fear of God or the fear of the world? What is the fear of the Lord? The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is freedom. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord adds years to your life. Proverbs 15:16 says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Now, this next sentence is so very important. When the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord, it never means to be afraid of Him. Let me say that again. When the Bible speaks of the fear of the Lord, it doesn't mean to be afraid of Him. Fear of the Lord, even from our confirmation classes, I could ask Madison right now and she would tell you, fear of the Lord means reverence. Means awe, means respect. A reverent awe and respect for God's presence in our lives brings freedom and faith, joy and obedience, confidence and boldness. On the other hand, are you with me here this morning? Not here, not here, right here. On the other hand, there's worldly fear. What is worldly fear? Worldly fear is paralysis. Rodney, and you'd be interested to know this. In January 1960, in a small village in Ukraine, an amazing event happened. I read about it on the internet. A smelly wretch of a man named Grisha Sikalenko shocked his neighbors. Everyone thought he had died a hero's death in World War II, but the truth of the matter was, when he marched off to war, he sneaked back home. And his mother made a hiding place for him under the manure pile in their goat shed. And for the next 18 years, Grisha Sikalenko lived, he existed in a living grave. Twice a day, his mother brought food to him. In winter times, he almost froze. In summer times, he almost suffocated. Year after year, he existed in that underneath that manure pile, paralyzed by fear. He threw his life away, afraid to face up to his punishment for desertion. Finally, in 1960, Grisha Sikalenko came out of hiding, expecting to be horribly punished. But his fears were absolutely groundless. The statute of limitations had long declared him immune from any punishment. Only his fears had kept him imprisoned under that manure pile for 18 years in a living grave. Now, I share that startling story with you because I have a very important question to ask you this morning. Has anybody here been needlessly paralyzed by worldly fear? If so, today Jesus has good news for you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is, of course, he died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for our sins. But hear me very carefully. The gospel is more than that. The gospel is also the great good news that the Holy Spirit of God, who lives in us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, empowers us to leave our prisons of fear, to live in God's power, in God's freedom. One day, Jesus' closest disciples were very much afraid. They had the kind of worldly fear that paralyzed them. We read in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Therefore, do not fear them. Whatever I tell you, speak. Whatever you hear from me, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but can't kill the soul, but rather fear God. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the knowledge of your Father. Do not fear, therefore. Are you not of much more worth than many sparrows?" The disciples of Jesus were afraid of living for Jesus and being his witnesses in a hostile world. These disciples lived in a world in a time that ridiculed followers of Jesus and were downright hostile to them. Huh, does that sound familiar today? Jesus was sending them as his witnesses to their neighbors, to their relatives, to their communities, to their marketplaces, to their places of government. And who were they? They were just fishermen. They were common men, uneducated. And they were afraid of the hostile Jews and Romans. They were at a low point in their fear of the Lord. They lacked confidence and trust in God's strength. So Jesus gave them, and by the way, he gave us, words of comfort and challenge. Three times in this short passage, did you hear it? Three times Jesus said, fear not. Look at your outline. First, Jesus tells his disciples and he tells us, fear not. You do not walk alone. In Matthew 10, 26 and 27, Jesus says, therefore, do not fear them. Whatever I tell you, speak. Whatever you hear from me, preach on the housetops. Jesus tells his disciples and tells us, whatever you undergo, you don't go it alone. In this hostile world of sin, in this hostile world where so many people have turned their backs on the truth of God, Jesus says to you, you do not walk alone. To you, you do not walk alone. Please hear this message as the Holy Spirit first brings it to your hearts and then your ears and then to your hearts. You do not walk alone. Next, Jesus tells his disciples, note your outline, fear not, he says to them, you are in God's hands. In verse 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear God. Let's be really clear today. In the midst of happy, joyous Christmas events, in every heart, in every household, there are things that aren't the way they should be. And they cause us pain and sometimes fear. Yes, says Jesus, there are those people. And there are those problems that can and will hurt you. But don't give your fear to them so they can exert their control over you. Don't live for 18 years under a manure pile in the goat shed. But rather, Jesus says, fear God. That is, revere and respect God and entrust your lives into the hands of Him who has the real power over body and soul. We're in the season of Advent, soon leading in just a couple of days to Christmas. I can hardly wait. In Advent, we focus on the coming. The coming of our Lord Jesus, His first coming as a baby in Bethlehem's manger, but also His second coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings on the day of judgment. This Lord has power over sin, power over death, power over the devil. He is the one, as Martin Luther says in his catechism, He is the one that we are to fear, love, and trust above anything else. Jesus says in our text today, you are in His hands. The same hands that created the universe. The same hands that reached up to Mother Mary from the cradle. The same hands that were nailed to the cross. The same hands that burst from the tomb. The same hands that will one day judge the earth. The same hands that one day will welcome you home to heaven. Next in Jesus' passage from Matthew 10, note your outline, He says, fear not, you are precious to God. Val Hall, did you know that? You are precious to God. Jeanette, did you know that? You are precious to God. Red Zotsman, I'm talking about you. You are precious to God. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells his disciples, fear not. You are precious to God. Here are his exact words. Fear not. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the knowledge of your Father. But do not fear, therefore. You are of much more value than many sparrows. In a moment of tender compassion, Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us, that little sparrows of that day, sold 2 for a penny. But they were so beloved to his Father in heaven, not one of them fell over in death that the Father didn't know and care about it. And then he says, if that is true, how much more precious are you to your Father in heaven than many sparrows? My friends, please don't listen to the lies that the sinful world and the devil whispers into your ear when you hear that lie that says, you are insignificant. You are worthless. You are unimportant. If you ever doubt your worth to God, look here. If you ever doubt your worth of God, see how much God paid for you and your salvation. This is how much worth you have to God. Today, our message, on just 2 days before Christmas, is proclaiming this central truth. The fear of God dispels worldly fear. A humble reverence in God and a trust in his care for me is the best antidote to anything this life throws in our way to try to make us afraid. This biblical kind of fear, reverent trust in God, gives us, as the scripture says, the peace that passes all understanding. If you have time today and you're not in a hurry, I invite you to come back to my office. I want to show you something, my dear sweetheart. That's Beverly, by the way, in case you didn't know, that she made for me just a couple of weeks ago. With the calligraphy that she's able to do, she wrote out a scripture passage that I have attached to my computer screen. I see it every single day. It's God's reminder to me. It's our sermon text from Philippians chapter 4. Listen to these words. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here comes the verse. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard and keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, the disciples of Jesus must have taken to heart his words about fearing God and not men. They must have learned that a reverent trust in God produces in them a strength that's able to overcome any attacks this world would level against them. How do we know? Because listen now. Listen to how the very enemies of the disciples, who were once timid, now describe these disciples after Jesus' resurrection. It's in Acts 17:6. These are the men who have turned the world upside down, and they've come here for us too. Aha! Now who's afraid? Our loving Lord would have each of us learn this important lesson in Advent. Just before Christmas, the fear of God dispels worldly fear. When your heart is filled with a reverent trust in God and his care for you, there's no room in that same heart for worldly fear. A couple of weeks ago, Beverly and I were privileged to visit Harold and Joanne Boucher at Vancouver General Hospital, where Harold has been and is still being treated for health problems. Besides scripture and prayer and Holy Communion, which is what I bring to all my visits, we also shared an Advent hymn. It's my favorite Advent hymn. O come, Emmanuel. We talked together as a foursome about how this hymn describes our Lord as our powerful but also faithful Lord, whose faithfulness can always be counted on, even in the face of things in this world that would cause us to fear. The faithfulness of God. This brings to mind then, to me, that famous hot water geyser called Old Faithful. Anybody heard of Old Faithful? Okay, now as you put your hands down, anybody ever seen Old Faithful? We're not talking about you, Larry. We're talking about this geyser. Okay, I pick on Larry today. Old Faithful is a hot water geyser. I'm only doing this now because I know you'll be with your family elsewhere for Christmas, and I can't bother you then. Old Faithful is a hot water geyser in Yellowstone National Park in the United States state of Montana. Actually, I saw it for the first time a few years ago when I was traveling through. And this geyser is called Old Faithful because of how utterly dependable it is. Unlike other water geysers that shoot up at times no one can predict, Old Faithful shoots a stream of boiling water, get this, 170 feet up in the air once every 65 minutes, day in, day out. Talk about faithful. What a wonderful picture of our faithful God. We can always depend on Him. He is faithful. He is true. He is powerful. He is loving. My friends, you can entrust your very life and all of its concerns into His strong hands. You can give Him your reverent trust and fear. Today, you can declare, "Dear God, I am not afraid because I truly fear You." In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering. Privilege and our delight, O Lord, to return to You these gifts and these offerings. Help them not to be just hastily thrown things we put in the plate without much thought or foresight or planning. But help us to plan and to give sacrificially a part of the income You provide for us. We give these offerings, O Lord, because of Him who offered Himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray especially at this Christmas season that You would so warm our hearts with Your amazing grace and love that we cannot help but respond in being generous givers of ourselves, our time, and our resources for Your kingdom's sake. Amen. Congregation, please rise for prayer.